friends and family that are traveling and out of the area, but we're glad that you could be here. By way of announcements, we hope you'll join us for coffee afterwards. We have traditionally had a coffee fellowship time followed by an adult learning experience or conversation about the sermon or whatever, but as Roger mentioned last week, we've opted to postpone any formal time till after the first of the year. But believe me, we can fill that hour with visiting and conversation, so please join us if you're able. And also, please join us on Wednesday. We have the privilege of hosting Covenant missionaries Steve and Barb Swanson. We've invited the Cook and the Bowabic Covenant churches, and I know we are having some guests, so I hope we have a good group. We're going to begin the evening with a light supper, followed by Barb and Steve's presentation and the opportunity to learn about their mission work overseas. They are in Sweden, I think. Don't want to make a mistake. They are in Sweden. And that will be interesting in and of itself. And then next Sunday is the 9th, not the 2nd. And Rebecca Lemangere will be here. She spoke to us several weeks ago and was very well received. We appreciated the message she had for us. And following that, on Monday, October 10th, the ladies will be meeting for lunch. And if you note under coming events, the Peter Kim will be here, another Covenant missionary, and Bowabic is going to host him. So I hope we can reciprocate and have a nice group go over to Bowabic to spend some time. The Covenant Park fundraising dinner is Saturday, October 22nd. And then on the 23rd is KICY Sunday, and some of you will be familiar with that. KICY is a radio station in Alaska who broadcasts, it's a Christian radio station that broadcasts across Alaska and into Russia and has a huge missionary presence there. And they have a dollar per member Sunday. They're asking for $1 from everybody who attends a Covenant church that morning to donate to their ministry, and that will help offset the incredible costs of fuel and electricity and everything that they need to continue that broadcasting in Alaska. So we hope that you'll remember that and be able to contribute to that $1 Sunday. Also, if you'll note, it says under caretakers, volunteers are needed. That is covered, so we don't need a volunteer to clean this week, so you can make note of that. I believe those are the announcements. If there's anything else, we can share during coffee time, but I think that is the total for now. If you would stand, please, and join me in the call to worship that is taken from Psalm 146, and it's in your bulletin. O Lord, open our eyes,
that we may see the beauty of goodness.
O Lord, open our ears,
that we may hear the truth.
O Lord, open our lips,
that we may show forth your praise.
Okay, remain standing, please, for hymn number 38, Worthy of Worship. And we are, because our pianist is traveling, we are using the hymnal in the box this morning. So I'll try. I'll do my best to lead the song.
Thank you.
God, prophet of the Most High, thank you for the blessing of seeing another day. Our prayers go up to you on behalf of all those we love and care for, asking that you bless them and take care of their needs. May your grace sustain us as we drink from your cups of peace and joy. We thank you for protecting, for healing, and for providing us with every good thing we need on this holiest of days. We commit this day to you and ask that you open our hearts to your love. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is found in 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 14. It's on page 906 in your pew Bible. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded now lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about your Lord, our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and calls us into a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immorality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And the second reading is from Luke 17, 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat,' Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.
We are unworthy servants, but we can certainly give from the blessings that God has provided us for his kingdom work. We'll ask the ushers to come forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we are all cheerful givers and that we are giving back to you the first fruits, that we are focusing on what is yours, Lord, and that we're praying and intending for it to be used in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts. Will you stand, please, for the doxology? Join me in prayer this morning. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we always have the freedom to come willingly and freely to your house. We thank you for each member and friend, Lord, that has created this family, this First Covenant Church on the corner of Virginia, Minnesota. And we're grateful that throughout the years, it has always had a focus on mission and evangelism and outreach. We pray that you will show us, Lord, the things that we can do in that direction, that you will provide us opportunity to serve your people. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the people who serve us. We thank you, Lord, for first responders and firemen, paramedics, for doctors and nurses in the community, and we thank you for the people that are working hard to keep us free and the military people that we have a connection with. We thank you, Lord, for them. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the members of our congregation that are traveling, and we pray that they will have safe travels and remain healthy during that time. And for those, Lord, that are experiencing an interruption in their health, we pray for them, Lord. We pray for Paul this morning and ask for comfort and peace in his heart, and we pray for strength as his daughter cares for him. And for those needs, both known and unknown, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that as we are in the process of searching for a pastor, a full-time regular pastor to serve our congregation, that you have provided many individuals to fill our pulpit on Sunday morning and to share your word with us. And they have all been a blessing, and they have all had something specific, something timely, something needed. And we appreciate that, Lord. We appreciate your hand in that. Thank you, Lord, for the events that are scheduled for the coming week, and we pray that you would guide us through the week and provide opportunities to serve you and to share your love. In your name we pray, amen. If you would be so kind as to turn to hymn number 399, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you.
This morning, we are fortunate to have Pastor Scott Nellis with us again, and he will be sharing a message, When Life Gets You Down.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again this morning, this Lord's Day, to be able to worship together, to be able to celebrate His goodness, His faithfulness, and His love for us. And I appreciate the invitation that you've given for me to come and to share God's word with you. And I'm especially grateful to be here this morning in light of the series of migraine headaches that I've just come through. They came every night for 4 weeks and lasted all through the night. So even as late as last Sunday, I was wondering if I was going to be here this morning. But God is good. My last headache was Monday, and I'm here. And for that, I praise God. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. As we look into God's word for our lives today. Hear the word of God. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Let's pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunity to come together, to gather with your people in your presence, and to worship you. Lord, you are present here among us. And I pray that your spirit would work and move in each of our hearts as we hear your word, as we consider its truth for our lives today. We thank you for your spirit, which has inspired your word. And we thank you for your spirit, which will help us to live according to your word. Lord, we give you this time. And our attention, in Jesus' name, amen. So Ole and Lena, those two lovable Scandinavians, were out for a ride one day on their bicycle built for two. Ole was in the front and Lena was in the back. And they were cruising along pretty well until they came to a hill. And that pretty well slowed them down. Ole pedaled and pedaled as hard as he could, but they weren't making much progress up that hill. Finally, about halfway up, Ole became exhausted and discouraged. Oh, Lena, he said, I'm sorry. I am so beat. I just can't pedal any further. Oh, Ole, that's okay, said Lena. It's a good thing I've had the brakes on all the way up the hill. Otherwise, we would have slid back down. You know, sometimes life is like that. We're cruising along, Everything is going well for us. We're enjoying life's journey. But then we hit a hill. And all of a sudden, the journey becomes difficult and challenging. We find ourselves facing heartaches and hardships and struggles. And it wears us down. It gets us down. And we begin to wonder how much more we can take and how much further we can go. Some of you may have felt that way at one point or another during the pandemic that we've just come through. It caught us all by surprise. It was something we weren't wanting or expecting, and it left many of us feeling isolated and alone. Truly, it was a difficult and discouraging time in so many ways. Maybe you have something in your life today that is getting you down. If that's the case, keep these words of Psalm 63 in mind, because this is a psalm that can encourage us when life gets us down. It's a prayer that arises from the heart of David during a particularly stressful time in his own life. If you look at the heading here, the notation at the very top of this psalm, it says that this comes out of the time when he was in the desert of Judah. Now, we're not sure. It could have either been the time when he fled into the desert to escape being killed by King Saul, or it could have been written later on, when his son Absalom led a rebellion against him, forcing David to leave Jerusalem for the safety and security of the wilderness. Either way, it was a life-threatening situation for David. And here he is, sheltering in place, if you will, waiting for the situation to change, waiting for life to return back to normal. I believe we can learn something here from David and what he does here. The way he prays in the midst of his situation. There are four things here that he does that helped him and that can help us as we go through times of hardship and difficulty. First of all, David prays to God. He turns to God in the midst of his troubles and he seeks God's help through prayer. Look again at verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You can just hear the passion, the pleading behind David's prayer. He's desperate. He knows he's no match for the situation. He knows that it's God and God alone who can give him the strength and the help that he needs to face and fight his enemies. David knows that it's God alone who can heal the hurt that is carrying deep inside. What he most needs at this point is just to be with God and have this heart-to-heart talk with him. And you know what? That's exactly what we most need during those times when we're suffering, when we're feeling weary and beaten down. It's so important during those times not to turn away from God as some people do, not to turn against God as some people do, but to turn to God. That's the thing about suffering. When it touches our lives, it presents us with a choice. We can't always choose what happens to us, but we can choose how we will respond. We can either let suffering drive us away from the Lord, or we can let suffering drive us closer to the Lord and make us even more determined to rely on him. Joseph Scriven was a man who had more than his share of suffering in his own life. As a young man living in Ireland, he was engaged to be married. But a day before the wedding, his heart was broken when his bride-to-be accidentally drowned. He was devastated. Later on, he moved to Canada, where he fell in love with another woman, and they were engaged to be married. But again, before the wedding, she got sick and she died. All of his hopes and dreams were crushed. It was out of that heartache that Scriven wrote the words of the hymn that we have just sung. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's his own personal testimony to the help and strength he found in Jesus through prayer. And that third verse, what he says there is especially true. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Jesus, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do our friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. You will find a solace there. That was Scriven's experience in Jesus. He found a refuge. He found shelter. He found a solace. And that was David's experience here in the wilderness as well. And that can be your experience and my experience as we take our troubles to the Lord in prayer. David prays to God. Secondly, David praises God. Take a look again at verses 2 through 5. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Despite his struggles, David doesn't give in to grumbling and complaining. He doesn't become bitter or resentful. His heart isn't filled with self-pity. He doesn't focus on himself or dwell on how overwhelming his situation is. No, David focuses on the Lord, on his love, his power, his glory. And as David focuses on the Lord, his heart is overcome with a sense of wonder and worship to the point where he begins to sing. Isn't that amazing? David is suffering, and yet he is singing. You know, praise is such an important part of prayer. It's an important part of our relationship with the Lord. And it's not just something that we're supposed to do when things are going well for us or when we feel like it. No, it's important to praise God even in the difficult times of life. Praising the Lord in the midst of our problems isn't just putting on a brave face. It's not ignoring the sadness or the grief or the turmoil that we may be carrying around inside of us. No, we need to take that to the Lord in prayer. But praising God is choosing to recognize and appreciate God for who he is and what he's done in our lives, even in the midst of heartache and difficulty. Praise not only pleases God, but it can lift our spirits as well. As we focus on the greatness of God, our souls can be refreshed, can be renewed, or can be satisfied, as was the case here with David. I think of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, as they were sitting in that prison cell in the city of Philippi. You know the story. They had been arrested. They had been beaten. They were locked up. They were facing the possibility of death itself. And yet, what were they doing at midnight, at the darkest hour of their lives? They were praying and singing praises to God. And their praise released God's power into their lives and into their situation. In my own life, some of the most powerful, most comforting moments I have ever experienced have come during funerals, as we have sung some of the great hymns of our faith. In the midst of that singing, I have often been overcome with an overwhelming sense of God's presence, His love, and the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. God's power is released into our lives as we lift up our hearts to God in prayer and in praise. There's a third thing here that David does in this psalm. He prays, he praises, and then he remembers. He remembers God. Look at verses 6 and 7. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. In the midst of his struggles, David thinks about God and who he is and what he has done for him. And I can just picture David laying there in his bed, going back in his mind to the time when he was that young boy and the encounter that he had with Goliath, that giant warrior of the Philistines who was threatening the Israelite army, and how God accomplished the impossible through him. David trusted God in that situation, and God acted. And God enabled him to defeat that giant and to rout the Philistine army. That same God who was with him in that battle was with him in his current battle and would help him face the enemies that he was now facing then. That had to be comforting for David to remember what God had done. He didn't exactly know how the situation was going to turn out, but he was confident that his God would work it out. He knew that God had his back. God had helped him before, and he knew that God would help him again. When we're hurting, when we're suffering, when we're going through tough times, it helps to look back and to remember those times when God was clearly at work in our lives. Those times when God came through for us. Those times when we personally experienced His love and provision and protection. I would encourage you today to take some time to remember. Think about a blessing God has given to you. Think about a problem that God has helped you overcome. Think about a situation in your life where you experienced God's comfort and how He carried you through. Remember what God has done for you in those past situations and be encouraged in your present situation by that. That same God who was with you then is with you now. And then finally, one other thing that David does here. David clings to God. Verse 8, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. David refuses to allow this situation to shake his faith in the Lord. In fact, his devotion more than outweighs his suffering here. He's all the more determined to hang on to God and to rely on Him. As he says in verse 3, God's love means more to him than life itself. In other words, God is his life. Without God, he would have nothing. Without God, his life wouldn't be worth living. He refuses to allow this situation to pry him away from the Lord. I remember reading about a man by the name of Henry Dempsey. He was a pilot who experienced a very harrowing situation on a commuter plane as he was flying from Maine to Boston. Halfway through the flight, he heard some rattling in the back of the plane. And so he turned control of the plane over to his co-pilot and went back there to investigate. As he was walking past the rear door, the plane hit some turbulence. Dempsey was thrown against the door, and the door opened, and the air pressure sucked him out of the plane. On his way out, Dempsey managed to grab hold of one of the railings on the stairway door. And there he hung upside down as that plane flew at 190 miles an hour. Can you imagine that? Well, the co-pilot saw the door ajar light go on the instrument panel, so he knew something was wrong. So he changed direction to land at the nearest airport. Somehow Dempsey managed to hold on for the 10 minutes it took to land that plane. And when that plane landed, his face was just 12 inches above the concrete runway. When the emergency crew rushed out to help him, they had to pry his hands off the bar because he had been holding on so tightly. Other than the trauma of the ordeal, Dempsey suffered only a few cuts and bruises. Friends, when life knocks us around, when it turns our world upside down, sometimes all we can do is cling to Jesus, to hold on to him for dear life. And as we do, we discover the whole time that Jesus is clinging to us. His hand is upholding us. Johnny Erickson Tada is an example of what it means to cling to Jesus in times of suffering. 55 years ago, when she was 17, she was involved in a diving accident. That diving accident left her paralyzed from the neck down. Because of that accident, she can't use her hands or her feet. But because of that accident, her faith in Christ has been deepened, and she has had the opportunity to encourage so many others who have been going through tough times. Giving witness to the comfort and strength she's found in Jesus, she writes this: God is never closer than when your heart is aching. He has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. In times of suffering, we need to hold on to Jesus, knowing and trusting that in his love for us, he is holding on to us. My prayer for you is that this day and every day, you might find shelter and comfort and refuge and solace in the Lord. Pray to him, praise him, remember him, and cling to him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you love us and that you are with us, especially in times of difficulty and struggle. We thank you that you offer us grace and strength that is more than sufficient to see us through those times. You are a good and faithful Savior who suffered for us in order to redeem us. Help us when we're suffering to trust you, to cling to you, and yes, to even sing our praises to you. Minister to each of us during our time of communion. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. I would invite you to turn in your hymnals to number 383. 383, the song, I Am Thine, O Lord. It's really a prayer, and I pray that this might be the prayer of your heart this morning. Thank you. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Lord is the host of this meal, and he invites all who love him and who desire to live in obedience to him to come to this table and to receive his grace. Let us do so with glad and grateful hearts, recognizing our need for the forgiveness that Jesus offers and the salvation that he has accomplished for us through the cross. As we come to this table, we remember how on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of me." As long as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for this time in your presence and for this opportunity to come to your table, to remember your death on our behalf, to celebrate your love and your forgiveness and your grace, to receive again from you the touch of your Spirit upon our lives. Lord Jesus, in these moments, we pray that you would meet each and every one of us, encouraging, uplifting us, and sending us forth from this place to go serve in your name. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen. The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Jesus? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, because we all partake of the same loaf. The cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of our Lord Jesus? Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us keep the feast. The body of Christ, broken for you, take and eat. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into this world and giving your life for us, rising from the dead, to give us forgiveness for our sins and eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen. the blood of Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of him. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, Jesus, thank you for these reminders here, the bread and the cup, which tell us of your suffering, what you went through on the cross, the death that you died for us, so that we might have eternal life with you. We thank you that you love us, and there's nothing we can do that would make us love you anymore. There's nothing we could do that would make you love us any less. But you love us. You're with us. You promise, Lord, never to leave us or forsake us. And so we go forth this day, trusting in you, trusting in the promises of your word, eager to obey you, and to share the good news of your love with others. It's in your name that we go forth, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Great are you, Lord. Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say. Death.